The Catholic Church in Australia said last week that it would not be opposing, or so, sorry, they said that they would be actually opposing the laws forcing priests to report child abuse when they learn about it in the confessional, setting the stage for a showdown between the country's biggest religion and the Australian government. Now, we don't have any such law in South Africa, but in light of all of the abuse that we've seen, even here, happening to our children, we ask if we should, you know, maybe be looking at that law ourselves. I mean, I grew up as a Roman Catholic. I sometimes call myself a roaming Catholic these days, simply because of a lot of the abuse and the way the church dealt with that abuse. And I remember having a robust discussion with the head of the Catholic Church, Cardinal Napier. He put the phone down on me at the end of it. And I really think it's a discussion that needs to move forward. Now, yes, the church will argue that the confessional and the sacrosanct and whatever happens there is between God and the person confessing. But anyway, let's have this discussion with the Archbishop, the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Cape Town, Archbishop Stephen Breslin. So, Your Grace, thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning.
Not at all, Kino. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
It's a difficult issue. Like I said, and I'll personalize this, it certainly has... I still see myself as a Catholic, but it's turned me away from the church to a degree. The whole way in which the church dealt with abuse, not only in South Africa, but abroad as well. And I think that key question in Australia, the one that's been asked and the one that's now been answered, aka the laws that will basically compel priests to come forward when they hear about paedophilia within the confessional. What is your take? And I obviously you speak as the Archbishop of Cape Town and almost a member of the executive of the church in South Africa. Your take on that move in Australia?
Kino, let me first of all say that you're absolutely correct. What has happened within the Catholic Church in these instances is absolutely disgraceful and cannot be defended. And I think, secondly, you are absolutely correct that this needs to be spoken about. I'm sure that you've watched the movie Spotlight, which focused on the investigative journalist who released all this in, exposed it in Boston. And one of the lines from that movie, it was when something like this: if it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to abuse a child. And I think what was being said there is that there has been a conspiracy of silence within the Catholic Church. Most certainly we've been complicit in that, but in society as well. Yes. And so I believe that this really does need to be spoken about. In terms of the confessional, of course, you're quite right that we view the sacrament of confession as being absolutely sacrosanct, that no priest can divulge what happens within confession, either directly or indirectly, and furthermore can never use the information that he has received in confession. And this has been a point, of course, that has come up in various stages of history and in times that priests have been put to death even for refusing to reveal what was said to them in confession. This could have been for political reasons. I think in the Spanish Civil War, for example, some priests were put under pressure to reveal what opposing sides had said in confession. But also, of course, just for jealous husbands, for example, who might want to know what their wives have been up to and what they're confessing to the priest. Mm-hmm. So it is absolutely sacrosanct. And I think the Australian bishops do make an important point that nobody would actually confess this in confession if they knew that it was immediately going to be released to the police and be reported on. I think that is a point. And in the unlikely event that anyone would come to confession to say that, I'm a pedophile, I'm abusing children, if they're at least confessing that to a priest, and if the priest is well-trained, he will be able to advise them and to counsel them on the correct action. Because, as you know, as a Catholic, part of confession is not simply to confess your sins, but you have to make restitution for what you have done. So if you've stolen something, then you're supposed to return what you have stolen. Mm-hmm. If you've defamed somebody, you're supposed to restore their good name. And this would be exactly the same case. If somebody came and confessed paedophilia, then the priest would be bound to say that part of the restitution is that you must go to the legal authorities and report this yourself.
Okay, but let's say that person comes back, Your Grace, and repeats this in the confessional over and over and, you know, can't help him or herself. Let's say that the person that comes and walks into the confessional is a serial killer.
Yes.
You can't, you know, as much as you chat to them as the priest in the confessional, you sometimes won't have the skills to be able to do in-depth psychological analyses. So the person feels good for having, you know, come through and confessed, says a couple of Hail Marys and a couple of Our Fathers, then goes off, maybe thinks he or she will try, but then does it again and again. Where do you draw the line?
No, most certainly. I mean, obviously, let us take the example of a serial killer. If somebody was coming repeatedly to confess that, first of all, they wouldn't be getting absolution in the first place, because absolution is conditional, because the first part of confession is contrition, which means
yes.
Repentance.
Yes.
And an important part of repentance is to say that you are intent on changing your behavior. You intend to work against what you are doing. And so if somebody is coming, they would immediately be denied absolution if this was being repeated. And as well, if they were not following up on the restitution part of it. For example, a serial killer or a person who's come in and confessed murder and has been told he should report that to the police. If he hasn't done that, then the second time round, so to speak, absolution would be denied. I don't think they would feel particularly good about it. And after all, the people who do come to confession are people who are really trying to reform their lives. They are people who are trying to deepen their relationship with Jesus Christ.
Well, we hope so. Different people have different motives. And I would imagine that you are right, Your Grace. But what happens when the person repeats? Would it then be okay for the church to go to the police and say, actually, we've got a serial pedophile, a serial killer, and you need to be made aware of it?
No, I don't think that the church could ever do that, and I don't think any priest could do that.
Yeah.
As you know, canon law at the moment, if a priest did do something like that, he would automatically be excommunicated.
Is it church law or divine law, Your Grace?
Well, that is church law, but
which
it's part of the sacrament and the seal of confession.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the whole point of confession is that it's a very personal thing. While the confession is made in the presence of a priest, the person is actually confessing to God and seeking, of course, forgiveness from God, because it's not the priest who forgives. But I think also, in cases like this, and this does certainly happen, if a person is really trying to reform and is not able, as you say, by himself to go to the police, then you ask them to come for counseling or to repeat it outside of the confessional. Mm. And that's a completely different story if it's repeated outside of confessional.
I mean, and here's another question for you. Which law is supreme? The law of the land or church law?
Look, I think that in every respect we try to abide by the law of the land. And even in the Australian case that you have mentioned, the Australian bishops have said that they accept 98% of what the Royal Commission has recommended. But there are certain points that we will come unstuck with, and certainly the seal of confession would be one of them.
And, churches have gone to court before. There are some churches that won't allow you to have a blood transfusion at the end of the day. The Supreme Court of Appeal ruled that actually it's in the best interest of the child, and therefore the blood transfusion needs to take place. I don't see the danger of pedophilia on our children, in particular serial killers, going any other way in a court of law in South Africa if anybody had to challenge. Because if we look at divine law and church law is fallible. You would agree with that, right?
Yes, church law is certainly fallible, and church law can always be dispensed with.
Yes.
However, in this case, the sacrament of confession is a sacrament, and that does make it rather different.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And also, I think, it's also true in other professions, of course. Doctors have a certain confidentiality agreement with their patients. Investigative journalists and many around the world have gone to jail because they would not reveal their sources. So I think that there are other precedents in this, in so to speak.
Sure. But, at the end of the day, the constitution of the country looks at the most vulnerable people in society.
Certainly.
And it judges, everything based on the most vulnerable people as well and protecting the most vulnerable people. So I want to thank you for making your time. This conversation went a lot better than the one I had with the Cardinal. So
thank you. I'd like to just make one other point.
Yes.
We've been focusing on confession,
but
the church is absolutely committed to reporting any case of pedophilia to the police except in the case of when it comes into the confessional.
Okay.
And that is absolutely sacrosanct as well.
Okay. I think you and I can agree to disagree on some key points here, Your Grace, but I want to thank you once again for joining us on the show this morning.
Thanks, Kino.
Really appreciate
all
it. Archbishop Stephen Breslin, thank you very much. Time for your